This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to tee it up. This is Smoke and Joe's Driving Range, presented by PGA Tour Superstore. Here are your hosts, Smoke and Joe Pogge and Mulligan Matt Musil on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Morning, Houston. Rock and roll is here to stay. We're here, we're there, we're everywhere. Thanks to the World Wide Web. You can find us at www.smokeandjoesdrivingrange.com, and that's smoking without the G, and I am Smoking Joe.
And I'm Mulligan Matt. Good morning, guys.
I'm Bobby Beats. Good morning, people.
Okay, Bobby Beats. He's the inside man. He's got all the connections. He knows everything. So give us a scoop. What's going on with Deshaun Watson, Beats?
I don't know. It's a very, very confusing, like, roller coaster, honestly. Because he really hasn't, like, spoken out. It's been other people around him, his agent, speaking out. Even Titus Howard yesterday said he's not going anywhere. The offensive lineman. So I don't know what to make of it, honestly.
There you have it. The inside scoop from Bobby Beats right here on Smoking Joe's Driving.
Yeah, it's I can tell you this. Of course, no one wants him to go anywhere. I think he's just trying to stand up for the rest of the team, all the dysfunction in that organization. I've said it on Channel 11. I think I've said it on here. This is totally different than James Harden. James Harden wanted out to go somewhere else. That's not the case here. Deshaun would just like to have them get this organization together and let's go forward. Let's win some football games instead of just being dysfunctional and trading away great players and that type of thing. That's what's going on here. And the cryptic messages on social media may not help out, but maybe it does help with someone in management. So, we'll see. Another week goes by and we don't have a head coach yet.
Yep. You know, we only had the crystal ball, but I am pulling up the crystal ball. We're down to the final four. You got Buffalo. You got Kansas City. You got Green Bay. And you got Tampa. Could this be the year, the first time in NFL history, the host city of the Super Bowl has the home team in the game?
Well, you know, we've talked about this scenario before. When Houston had the Super Bowl the last time, the Texans actually showed potential early in the season, and we were talking about that. New Orleans has had that before. They have been favorites before, and they were set to host. It's never happened. I don't think it's going to happen this time either, but it could. It's nice to it's a fun topic to talk about, but as great as Brady is, and he's won a lot of cold weather games, I don't see them winning in Green Bay, but it might happen. Bobby, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, going in that tundra of Lambeau Field for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, I don't see those guys pulling out a victory. Aaron Rodgers will be the MVP of this season. So I would love to see it, but I just can't see it as well. So I agree with Mulligan.
Yeah, I have to go. Aaron Rodgers right now is making a statement. He's got an exclamation point. I know it's going to come down to, is it Patrick Mahomes or is it Aaron Rodgers or MVP? And I say, split it down the middle. They both deserve it.
Yeah, for sure. And you bring up Patrick Mahomes. Will he be available for the game? It looks like he will be. Will he be 100%? We don't know that. But that's the big question mark there. If he plays and if he's close to 100%, I'm picking the Chiefs. But you have to give the Bills a lot of credit. Boy, it's been a long time coming. And that small city up there in northern New York, they're going crazy up there. I don't know if you saw – I ran into a guy on the course when we saw each other Monday, Joe. He was wearing a Bills cap. And I say, hey, Buffalo, huh? And he could not stop talking
about it. Speaking of which, if Super Bowl is Kansas City, Green Bay, isn't that the anniversary of the very first Super Bowl?
The very first one.
Yep, there you go. Which at that time, I believe tickets sold for like $10.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was you could watch on both NBC and CBS because the old AFL was an NBC property and the NFL was always tied with CBS. And my uncle, who had a color TV set, one thing we didn't have, we put the rabbit ears up and we watched on NBC because it was they had instant replay. They had copyrighted instant replay before CBS.
Well, real quick basketball note. Let's go to where it counts, college basketball. Two of the best teams in the nation right here in Texas. You get UT and you got U of H. U of H won again Wednesday night. They beat up on Tulsa, the only team that they lost to up there. They're looking very strong. UT, they have some players. They went into Kansas and did some whomping on them that I've never seen before. It would be really cool if March Madness matched up and they'd be waiting till the Final Four, but UT versus U of H would be pretty fun.
That would be fantastic. Of course, now they're talking about the entire event being held up in Indianapolis, which I think would be smart. So however it gets there, I just don't, you know, last year was such a letdown. But of course the massive outbreak was going on at the time. It might have been one of those super spreader type events, but if they would have maybe put a little more forethought into that and looked ahead, they could have had a bubble situation and played it out, because as it worked out, they would have had a captive audience. Everyone was watching TV. Everyone was hunkered down, but it cost the NCAA. It cost so many schools hundreds of millions of dollars. And we see sports being dropped, you know, minor sports being dropped all over the place by major universities because they didn't get that NCAA tournament money. So I hope it happens. I hope no one gets extra sick over this. I hope they do it right. But I think it will happen. You know, what's interesting, you know, the Masters is still going on, Joe. You know, last I had, but they've canceled, you know, they've canceled River Oaks tennis. There's another, what was the next big event that just canceled? It was a national event, April event. I mean, it's,
you well, know, the pandemic is still in full force. I mean, it's got more victims than they did last year from now. However, the PGA has figured it out.
Yeah,
you they know, have. None of the California events are having any spectators. They've dropped all the pro-ams from Bob Hope and the Pebble Beach, but they figured it out. You know, if you look at the NFL, they have figured it out. They've had a pretty good run this season. You know, they protected their TV schedule. NBA, not quite as good, but still fairly good. Baseball, okay. So it takes a lot of common sense. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of testing. But it's going to work out.
It takes a lot of discipline on the athletes and coaches part. So
we'll see. We got a big challenge coming up with baseball, so we'll see what that happens. But let's get to golf. Golf, we have a lot of bullet points we got to hit on. First of all, big news that snuck out this week, Tiger Woods had back surgery again in the same area that he had. However, it was supposedly just to relieve a little pressure on a disc fragment. And there's different reports. Rory says he's going to be fine. You'll see him back before the Masters. Noah Begay says he saw him out just kind of, you know, hitting a couple of wedge shots. So maybe it's media making more something out of nothing. But and here's a story that kind of a lot of people haven't heard about. Our local fan favorite and Masters winner and U.S. Open winner, Angel Cabrera, arrested in Brazil for assault, theft, and intimidation.
Whoa. What exactly – what details do you have?
It has to do with an ex-girlfriend. Some of this stuff is sketchy. He is from Argentina. It happened in Brazil. I think they had to arrest him outside of back in Argentina. And next, anyway, it's not real good. So
hate hearing that.
We mentioned that the California events will not have any fans at them. The one that's going to be really interesting is that they've announced the waste management in Phoenix will be limited to 5,000 fans. They do 20,000 fans on the 16th hole alone.
Exactly. So they need to do that. I mean, whatever it takes to be safe, that's what needs to be done. And we need to, you know, people need to stop clamoring about how bad it is, how different it is. Let's, as you said, Joe, let's be safe how we do these things. Just
wear your mask.
Step back. Yeah. And we thought, you know, last year, start of the year, you know, they've got this thing going on overseas. That's never going to come here because of modern medicine and all. No. And here we are in 2021. We don't know when this thing's going to end. That one event I was telling you about, I can't think what it was, but it was scheduled for April and they've moved it to October. Hopeful that, you know, things will die down by October. We don't know. We don't know. We're hopeful the vaccine is here. People are getting, I told you, I got it. I had an adverse reaction, but doing well now. I'm going to get a second shot soon. People need to get vaccinated and we'll march forward.
Yep. Couple of knee-jerk reactions. The Ralph Lauren Corporation dropped Justin Thomas from their sponsorship after he didn't know Mike was on. He missed a putt and he referred to himself in a homophobic word. So they dropped him. And because of that, Thomas has entered into a program of sensitivity. And I'm kind of like, oh, that's gone too far. First of all, no one should have heard it. They shouldn't have had a mic. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of an invasion of privacy, number one. Number two, he's talking to himself. And you know how many times on the golf course I call myself idiot and nobody argues?
Yeah, but you don't use that word. And these guys. Yeah,
well, I don't cuss on the golf course either. I say Chrysler. Exactly. I say Fuddrucker. Mm-hmm. I say, you know, a lot, you know, I say lots of words that, you know, I can say. But anyway, just a little opinion.
It's all about personal management. These guys get paid millions of dollars. Their endorsement money is worth millions of dollars. Cameras and microphones are around all the time. And it's all about personal habits. I mean, I know what you mean. It sounds unfair. But at the same time, these guys and women, whoever, they need to be more aware. It's like when you enter the radio or TV business, by the way, stop cussing. You could be in a
Chrysler, Fuddruckers.
Yeah. I say son of a biscuit eater, you know,
hot dog.
Yeah. You could have a microphone on at any point. If you want to be in this business, don't be cussing a lot.
Right. You know? Well, speaking of cussing, we're running late, looking great. We've got a jump. We've got a great interview coming up next. We've got from the Houston Chronicle, Mr. David Barron, who just retired this year. I'm Smokin' Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
And this is Smokin' Joe's Driving Range right here on CBS Sports Radio 650. Welcome back, Smokin' Joe's Driving Range. I'm Smokin' Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
Beats, man.
Oh, yeah.
This next gentleman that we're going to have on has been a standard in the Houston Chronicle for over 30 years. I look forward to reading his different articles. He's got great insight to sports. Every now and then he writes articles about broadcasting and what's happening in the media world and everything. And so he is now starting some new adventure. He's going to be writing in some different aspects. So we're going to find out all exactly what he's going to be up to and find out some of the highlights of his career. Please welcome, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, Mr. David Barron. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Joe.
Great to have you along with us.
Thank you very much.
So you're heading down that road of a new adventure, a road that made itself available to you. How was the last day, the saying goodbye and everything?
It was hard. I've been doing this for 46 years in some way, shape, or form, and I've been at the Chronicle for 31 years, and Houston has been very good to me, and part of me thinks that I'm deserting the troops, but part of me thinks that I there's so much that I haven't done with my life because I've worked so much that I'd like to give myself a chance to do a few different things, I hope.
Yeah, what's the one thing you want to do now? You can decide now what you write and don't write, and you will have freedom to do that, David. What's the first thing you want to do?
The first thing I look forward to doing is getting. I apologize for the yard guy. I look forward to getting to the point where I can travel to East Texas and.
There's your yard guy. Hang on a second, Dave. We missed that. Your yard guy was getting loud. What is your first goal?
Look forward to going back to East Texas, spending some time with my family. I've not always been the best brother or the most dependent brother. I've always had things that I thought that I had to do, and so I'm hoping to be able to be a better friend and a better brother, and then also be able to survive some things as the occasion arises. So try to be a little bit more rounded human being.
That's what we all should have a goal of, right?
David, let me ask, your writing career, where did it start and who was your mentor? Who was the guy or individual that says you've got a skill?
Well, I started writing as when I was a sophomore at Tyler Junior College. I had a friend who worked for the student newspaper, and I thought if he could do it, I could do it. And then a professor at Tyler Junior College named Robert Peters, who also was the National Weather Service observer for Tyler, helped me get a job at the Tyler Morning Telegraph after my sophomore year at Tyler Junior College. Then I went to the University of Texas, got a degree, and then came back and worked at Tyler for 3 years, and then moved on to Waco, and then to the Dallas Bureau of UPI, and then to the Chronicle in 1990.
If you look at your career at the Chronicle, is it possible to describe the top 10 sporting events in this 31-year career?
I did 7 Olympics. That would take up a lot of slots. I did both the BCS championship games, in which the University of Texas played, the USC game, and then the Alabama game. I got to cover my high school, John Tyler High School, now Tyler High School, winning a state championship and division championship in 1994. I got to cover all three of the Astros World Series. Mm-hmm. Got to cover the ALCS between the Red Sox and the Yankees in 2004. Any number of USA gymnastics championships involving so many great gymnasts in the Houston area, and just dozens of them that did a great deal to me.
You know, when you join the Chronicle, it's kind of like the Chronicle put together a Super Bowl team of sports writers. I mean, you had Fran Blinberry and Dale Robertson, John Lopez, Jerome Solomon, yourself, several others I'm probably forgetting. Was it a kind of a fraternity of a good time and sharing of ideas and celebrating sports in Houston?
So much so. So very, very much so. That was several of us were here already. Several people, including me, came at the behest of Dan Cunningham, who became the sports editor of Chronicle in 1989, and pretty much reshaped the department and did great things that had not been done at the Chronicle perhaps ever in terms of its sports coverage.
David, I want to go back to, you touched on gymnastics and the same way for me, knowing so many great gymnasts coming up through the ranks here in Houston. Were you as shocked as me? I spent so much time around the Carolis and working out because Bella loved to have TV crews out there because they put, you know, the limelight on the girls, even in practice. Were you as shocked as me when those revelations came out about what had gone on?
Absolutely. I had never met Larry Nassar. I heard the name, but I knew perhaps who he was, but I never met him. I thought that the ranch was the safest place on earth. I thought that these women, these young women, were so important, and I had to betray a little bit of cynicism here. I thought that they were so important to them that they would be willing to damage their psyches, but not their bodies, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That they would try to use that Eastern European mindset of mm-hmm. only the strong survive to forge what in their view was a great athlete, but I never thought that there would that they would damage them in a way that they did, and of course in the way that they conducted themselves, they did a lot of damage to these women as well. I'm not sure if you were out there, Matt, on the when they had the one day training camp for the 2004 Olympic team, and they gymnast came in, and you remember that that little ranch road was backed up for miles, and there was no place to sit in that gym. And that evening, they named the team on live TV. It was the most, it was one of the cruelest things I ever saw. Where basically it's like you're breaking young women's hearts on.
We're on the phone with David Barron, great writer of the Chronicle over 30 years. David, in your 30-year career, is there five Houston sports figures that really shaped Houston sports that you would identify with?
Well, Earl Campbell was before my time, but I got to see Earl when he played in high school. I got to see his first varsity game at John Tyler in 1971 when he was a linebacker. He's still the only there are maybe I think 10 or 11 athletes from Texas who are in the Texas high school, the college football, and the pro football Hall of Fame and halls of fame. And the only one who played their entire career more or less on each level is Earl Campbell. Each of the others played elsewhere, either in college or the pros, including a few who obviously played before we had pro football in Texas. Other than that, I put great store by what George Springer meant to the Astros. I thought that Springer was the first of that group. Even though Jose Altuve was already here, I thought that Springer's arrival heralded a new era for the Astros, and that ended up, I think, being the case. And I think his leadership and his clubhouse presence, I think, formed the core of that team, and I think that they're forever different now that he's gone. Hakeem Olajuwon obviously is a personality and an athlete and a presence who has had an impact both on and off the court, and you can never, I think he probably is. He continues to have a presence, I think, here. Earl is not so much evident here anymore. I think Akeem's presence continues, so perhaps he might be the most overwhelming presence of any athlete that has come around, whose career has overlapped with my time here. I know that the people of a certain generation will always say Nolan Ryan. I think that in the Olympic sports, Simone Biles obviously is a overwhelming figure, but I'm not sure if she has an impact in the same way that Olajuwon did. Team sports are different than individual sports, obviously. That's a really tough one. Matt can do a better job on that one. He's been around longer.
David, you did a great one.
That was a great list. I will say this: it was amazing. You know, Mary Lou Retton, as far as gymnastics, had such an impact because it was burst onto the scene. But she readily admits at any point, David, she said Simone Biles is so much greater than I ever was, and Simone will continue on. It'll be interesting to see. What's your prediction? Will the Olympics happen this summer?
I think there's too much money involved for them not to happen. Whether they will allow spectators is the question. Whether they will allow media to be on site is another question. And then beyond that, if they do allow media on site, will we be able to have face-to-face access to the athletes? I don't see that happening. And if you're not doing that, you may as well watch it on television from here and get Zoom calls. And that had an impact on what I wanted to do this year. It's at some point that I knew that I was going to have to to take a step back. And if I wasn't going to be able to do a do an Olympics in the way that I wanted to, maybe this would be the year. So we'll see. I'm hopeful that the Olympics happen, and I'm hopeful that that people are able to compete in it and enjoy it and cover it in a way that approximates what we were able to do in the past. But it's not going to be the same this year, and I'm not sure if it ever will be the same. Do you ever think, Matt, that we'll get back into baseball clubhouses in the same way that we have over the years?
Now that they realize they can keep us in a box, not let us in there, it's going to be different from now on. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be different. And that's what we love about our job, right, Dave?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that people don't understand. We build relationships, and that's what our best stories come from. And I guess that made it easier for you to make the decision to retire, did it not?
It figured into it. Yeah, it did. I'm hopeful that I can still show up. I still have a BBWAA card, so I'll park if I want, if I desire to. So, I think that we've seen the best years of this Astros group. Could be wrong. Michael Brantley returning obviously was a big plus for them, and Justin Verlander will have another year when he comes back off of surgery, and they have players that developed last year. Kyle Tucker, just the burden of Kyle Tucker. He finally lived up to that overwhelming that crushing potential that we had piled on him last year. So I think that there's a possibility. Although in one of the last stories I wrote, I basically said that Houston sports here is in the same degree of turmoil that it was when I came here in January 1990, right after Jerry Glanville retired, and the year after Nolan Ryan had left for Arlington. It's pretty much just the same degree of turmoil. Although I think if Deshaun Watson, if he departs, I think at that point we've entered into a new era of dystopia in terms of Houston sports.
Ooh.
David Barron, it's great to have you on. Hopefully we can do this again a couple of times, and I look forward to the new adventures of the David Barron Word and reading them.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you, Matt. Thank you all.
Thank you, David. Go out, have a great day, and greatly appreciate this time. We look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Take care. We're going to take a break, come right back, and talk to one of Golf Digest's new up-and-coming golf teaching pros. I'm Smokin' Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
And this is Smokin' Joe's Driving Range right here on CBS Sports Radio 650. Welcome back, Smokin' Joe's Driving Range. I'm Smokin' Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
You can find everything out about all three of us at www.smokinjoesdrivingrange.com, and that's smoking without a G.
Without the G.
Yes. Last week, we were very pleased to have longtime friend, the lady that makes us live up to our resolutions and get fit. Pam Owens is on with us. And as we're talking to her, all of a sudden we got a notice. Royal Oaks had one of the recognized Golf Digest Young New Teachers of America. And I says, whoa, Pam, we need an introduction. She did it. So joining us right now, instructor elite from Royal Oaks Country Club, Robert Scott. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Robert.
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Doing great.
Doing great. Absolutely great. First of all, how long have you been at Royal Oaks?
I've been at Royal Oaks 7 years as of last August.
7 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So you were there with, was it Ryan Posner was there?
Ryan Polson was the head golf professional, the guy who brought me in. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And, hey, I have a question. I asked Joe this the other day. I forgot to ask Pam. Who was the guy that led the tournament? I think he's from Canada, but he was a Royal Oaks guy.
Roger Sloan.
What was it?
Roger Sloan.
Yes. Yes. How's he doing? How's his success on the tour now?
He's good. You know, with the pandemic, we hadn't seen him a bunch because, you know, when everything started, you know, we were kind of running very limited as far as the practice facilities and the golf course. And, you know, we would see him from time to time. But once he gets his year kicked off, we don't see him a ton unless he's in town for a couple weeks. but most of the time he's, you know, he's on the road.
Yeah, PJ life is on the road a lot.
Yeah.
How does that help you prestige-wise, I guess, as instructors and people who run that golf club? That has to have some type of effect, right? When you have a member who's doing great things out on the tour?
Yeah, it does. You know, it brings some notoriety to the club for sure, especially when he's up in the lead. And so normally when that happens, you know, we'll even send out an email blast to all the members so that they're keeping track of what's going on. And, you know, they're kind of a part of the whole success. So it's really cool when he's leading, you know, we all get to celebrate with him for sure.
So Robert, before Royal Oaks, where were you? How'd you get a start in golf?
So I got a start in golf. I'm actually an engineer by trade.
Whoa. And,
you know, I did engineering for a little while and I realized I didn't want to be in an office all day. And, you know, golf was really my true passion and I wasn't really good enough to play. So I got in the golf business in 2004 and I worked at a club called Greatwood Golf Club over in Sugar Land. And I was there for almost 2 years. And then I transitioned to another sister property after that. And I was there for 5 years. And so during that time, I didn't really know what I wanted to do in the golf realm. And then I actually got out of the golf business for a little while and I sold watches in the Galleria. Yeah, I know, crazy. And so after that for a little while, I realized that I wanted to coach. And so I got back into the golf business and I worked at this little small country club called Willow Fork out in Katy. Yeah. And I was there for 2 years. And then I really started getting into studying different golf swings and learning how to coach and learning how people learn and motor patterns and all that stuff. And I got really lucky that while I was there, I picked up this kid who was in high school and he was very raw, but he was very good. And so I started kind of testing out different thoughts on what I thought the golf swing should be on him. And so then I started having some success and then he actually ended up going to play in college and he just turned professional. He's been doing really well. So then it was like, okay,
what's his name?
This. Really? Yeah. Michael Cotton.
What school did he play at?
He played in North Texas and then he lives in, it's a little small town by San Marcos. He lives in San Marcos now.
Okay.
So he practices out of there, but he's going to do really well, I think, really well.
And where did you get your engineer degree at?
U of H.
Cougs.
All right. Houston Cougs. Native?
Yeah, born and raised.
Where'd you go to high school?
Stephen F. Austin in Sugar Land.
All right. Okay, Austin High School. Yeah.
Did you play golf in high school?
I did. That's actually when I actually started playing golf. So I'm 6'3" now, but at the end of my freshman year, I was 5'3", and I really loved basketball, and the basketball thing wasn't working out because I wasn't growing. So, you know, when I was growing up, we weren't the kids that stayed inside. You know, it was, hey, I want to be outside. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll try golf. So I started playing golf, and then I really took to it, and I really loved it. So then I played in high school, and then I tried to play in college, and that didn't really work out. So then I was just kind of in limbo for a while until I finished school.
So this is pretty fascinating. What golf course did you play in high school?
So when I was in high school, we practiced at Old Orchard, which is no longer around.
That's what I was going to say. Old Orchard, right across the street from Austin. Yeah.
Yeah. That place was really cool.
Yeah.
Pecan Grove Country Club.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've had some buddies that play out there. They say it's in really good shape, but the Old Orchard, man, I had some good memories. They had the three nines.
Yeah.
I think one was the farm, the stable, and the Oaks, the Range.
Range, yep.
Yep. The Range I didn't care for. The other two I thought were just fantastic. There's one.
Table, for sure.
Was the one that had a par five next to a fence. It was like on the north side. That was
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was deadly.
Great courses.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great layout. And they sold it and turned it into residential. But right next to it is Shadow Hawk and
yep.
Houston Oaks.
Which are very nice courses as well.
Yeah. So yep. Have you Do you have a pretty good extensive list of clients, or are you more of a drop-in, or how do you?
I have a pretty good list of clients. I have quite a few juniors who come to see me when they get out of school. So my afternoons during the week are very busy. Because once they get out of school, then I have some that come the same time every week. So I have, you know, kind of clients that are coming all the time. I have some that are dropping in. And then I'm also doing programming where I have clinics. So I have group clinics sometimes in the mornings.
And I'm guessing those are open for non-residents also. You don't have to live in Royal Oaks to take lessons from you, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. What do you like best? A beginner? A 10 to 12 handicapper? Or a single-digit handicapper?
I like all of them. They all require a different skill set. Your beginners, you're kind of molding them and you're giving them a lot of direction. Your 10 to 12 handicap, they already have some established things that they do in their golf swing, and it's more about what are their goals and then how do you push them in the right direction to be able to manage the golf course when they are playing, and making them understand, or having them understand, that you don't necessarily have to be perfect to play good golf. And then when you come with the more experienced or elite player, it's a lot more open dialogue and a lot more questions. They're already experienced and they're already good. Your job as a coach is really not to screw them up and how to get the most out of what they do well.
So we can send Bobby Beats out to you, and you can take a guy who has no idea what a golf club is and do wonderful things.
Sure, sure.
Bobby Beats, we got a new deal for you.
Hey, Joe, you know, the guys you saw me with on Monday, Dion, our director, he hasn't played a dozen rounds of golf in his entire life. And Joe came up on us, and we're playing the blue tees, Robert. And he goes, what are you guys doing? I said, these guys want to play the blue tees. I don't know. But, of course, that is not the advice you would give, would it? Is it?
It is not. I would say start from the tee box where you're going to have fun, where you're not going to hit your longest club into every green, where you have some opportunities to score. You know, I'll even have some of my better players start from even further up than they would ever play in any tournament, just so they can learn how to score, how they can also be comfortable being, you know, not one or two under par, but six under par, you know, and what needs to be the mindset when they get to that point, not necessarily trying to be in protect mode, but still being relatively aggressive and trying to improve that scoring.
Yeah, I'm always amazed. I play a lot of golf at Quail Valley, and I'm always amazed at the number of guys that show up, and they might be a 15, 16 handicap, and they go to the back tees. And I'm like, guys, getting a birdie is a lot of fun. You're only going to get back there at double bogeys and triples. I mean, anyway, so how the Golf Digest, how did that come about? Did somebody nominate you? How does that whole process work? When you found out, how did you feel?
So last year, or I guess year before last now, kind of around November, I was actually in Golf Digest for the first time for best teachers, no matter the age, just best teachers in the country. And then they also break down that list by state. So I was in that list for the first time ever, which was super awesome. It was my first time. Actually, when I read the email, like, I had somebody else read it, because I was like, is this for real? Like, am I reading this correct? And so then after that, I guess you're kind of like on the radar. So now at the end of last year, kind of around September, they sent me another form to fill out for best young teachers. And they had sent me that list before when I was a little younger. And, you know, at the time I maybe didn't have the credentials or the skill sets where I got in. So I kind of made it a goal where if I really want to qualify for this list, I have to do more. I have to put myself more out there. And so, yes, I've become a better coach, but I've also made myself more visible to others. So they send you kind of like a survey to fill out. You fill that survey out, and then it's voted on by your peers. And so then you get another email once they made the decision whether you're in or not. So to answer the second part of your question, reading it again, it was super cool because it just kind of validated like all the work that I've put in and all the studying that I've put in and, you know, all the people who helped me kind of get to this point. So it was very satisfying.
Well, congratulations. Awesome. It's been a pleasure having you on the show with us. If our listeners want to give you a call about a lesson and a tip, what do they get a hold of you?
They can go to royaloakscc.com or they can call the golf shop at 281-899-3270.
Well, congratulations, Robert Scott. It's been a pleasure. Your career is totally fascinating. You know, you ought to hook up with David Barrett and write a book because it's pretty interesting how your career has evolved. So thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. And if you guys ever need help, please feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to help you guys.
Thanks, you, Robert. Robert Scott, Royal Oaks Country Club. We're running late, looking great. I am Smoking Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
On Smoking Joe's Driving Range right here in CBS Sports Radio 650.
Thank you for listening to Smoking Joe's Driving Range, presented by PGA Tour Superstore. Check out joesdrivingrange.com for more from the show and enjoy your day on the course. From Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.